Blog Talk Radio.
It's Mark Rawson. I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we're on every Monday. And we just got an echo. Pam, are you hearing echo on your end?
A little bit, not too much.
Wow, okay. Just want to welcome everybody to the show. There's been a lot of changes to the time slots and everything, so make sure to go check out our website for all the different shows that are on Spiritual Connections. We are now running a lot of the shows monthly, and you can find out more about that by going to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And we actually have some really great links up on the website for our guests to Pam is going to introduce in a few minutes. But we have a link to what's called the World Congress, which is going to be talked about tonight. We have a link for the book and the website and a special music called The Rapture. So we'll be really excited to talk about this evening. And also, if you're looking for any of those links, they're right up on the website. So make sure to check that out. As we're kind of going into the end of April, as you know, we normally run this show every Monday night. As we hit the first Monday in May, we're actually switching to monthly. So we'll be running our show next Monday. And make sure to check out all those changes up on our website. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Pam. Hey, Pam, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Hi, everyone. Nice to be here tonight.
Yeah, it's great to have you on.
Thanks. I'm doing fine, to answer your question. How are you?
Oh, yeah, thank you. I get so ahead of myself. How are you? There we go.
I'm good. I'm really good, thanks. Tonight's a beautiful night in South Florida, mid-Florida, actually. We're about on the same longitude and latitude lines in Florida, you and I. You're in Orlando and I'm in Tampa, but it's gorgeous here. I'm sure it is there, too, where you are.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, tonight, we have a very special guest by the name of Patricia Cota Robles, and I hope I pronounced that correctly. Patricia is an internationally known teacher and has taught workshops in the former Soviet Union, Ireland, England. Wow, she's been everywhere, South Africa, the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Brazil, Bolivia, Mexico, Canada, Greece, Italy, Australia, New Zealand, and many more. I'm not even going to go name them all. And throughout the United States and America. She participated in the Soviet American Citizen Summit in Moscow and represents the United States in the category of holistic models of health, psychology, and healing. Patricia also participated in the first global summit Earth Summit held in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Patricia had the honor of being a presenter in the Call to World Peace from the Universal Brotherhood gathering in Istanbul, Turkey, and the Symphony of Peace Prayers, which was a gathering of over 10,000 people that took place in sacred Mount Fuji in Japan. So quite a well-traveled, quite a well-versed lady. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what she has to say. So, Patricia, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Pam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you're so welcome. Can you pronounce your last name so I get it right? Patricia Kota Robles?
It's Kota Robles. Kota Robles.
I knew I didn't have it right. Thank
it
you.
It's close, very close. That's a common mispronunciation, so that's fine.
Well, thank you for fixing
welcome.
It for me. Welcome, welcome. It's nice to have you on tonight.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. This has been a really powerful month that we're experiencing, and so it's always fun to get to expand that light out as we all join together in consciousness for these wonderful sharings.
You know, let's start there, because right before we came on air, you mentioned something about an eclipse and how powerful it was. And it's something I really know very little about, and I think probably part of our audience knows very little about it. So I thought I'd start by asking you, why is it so powerful, and what kind of eclipse, and tell us what you know about it.
Okay, eclipses are alignments, and, you know, this is when, of course, a solar eclipse always takes place on a new moon, a lunar eclipse takes place on a full moon, and it's when it creates an alignment in these celestial bodies that literally opens portals through which higher frequencies of light can bathe the Earth, and it affects all of us, whether we're consciously aware of it or not. What's unique about this one, and this solar eclipse that is taking place, actually it's 11:06 p.m. tonight, Pacific time, or 2:06 a.m. in the morning, the 29th Eastern time for us here in the United States. The thing that's so powerful about this is that there are these waves of energy that come into the planet, and just very briefly, what we've experienced so far, beginning with the March equinox on the 20th of March, is that that creates the equinox. Is always a time when day and night is equal length, and it creates again this alignment of an influx of light. And from as this awakening takes place, this is in the northern hemisphere, this is when the resurrection flame, which is a force field of light, starts bathing the planet. And this is the energy, the vibration and consciousness, literally the sacred fire from the heart of our Father, Mother, God, that begins bringing the sap back up in the plants and awakening the hibernating animals, and it begins bringing life back into the physical plane. Then after that, we experience the first full moon, and the first full moon after the March equinox is known as the Passover full moon. And this year, it was a lunar eclipse, which was a greatly expanded influx of light that took place at that time. And then on Sunday, or Easter Sunday, Easter is always the first Sunday following the first full moon, which is the Passover full moon, after the March equinox. So this year, Sunday was April 20th. And the resurrection flame, with the consciousness of humanity, I mean, billions of people that celebrate Easter turn their attention to the resurrection of Jesus on that particular day, and it creates a collective cup of consciousness through which the beings of light in the heavenly realms and can bathe the planet with more of this energy. And this year, normally the Greek Orthodox Easter follows the other celebration of Easter, the Roman Catholic celebration of Easter. This year, they were both on the same day, which is very rare that they happen. It has to do with their alignments and their particular calendars. But this year, they were both on the same time. So this year, literally billions of people on the 20th of April were tuning their attention to the resurrection and this influx of light bringing in a higher vibration. And the resurrection flame lifts up everything. So, for instance, in our own personal lives, this is the higher frequency of vibration that we can utilize for lifting ourselves up, so lifting out of depression, lifting out of financial problems, lifting out of health problems. It's an energy that we can use to enhance the quality of our life. And what's special about this year is that immediately following that was a very rare Grand Cross alignment. And this grand cross alignment is something, again, involving the planets and in our solar system. When four planets align in different signs, for instance, cardinal signs forming a cross. And let me just briefly explain that so we can understand the magnitude of this. This grand cross, cardinal grand cross alignment, involved the four planets, Mars, Uranus, Pluto, and Jupiter. And each of them were 13 degrees in the various signs. For instance, Uranus was 13 degrees in Aries. Now, Aries is a fire sign, and it's associated with the mental body. So this is a bathing of energy that helped raise humanity's mental body. Jupiter was 13 degrees in Cancer, which represents the water element, which is humanity's emotional body. So this energy was helping lift and shift energy in humanity's emotional body. Mars was 13 degrees in Libra, which represents the air element, which is humanity's etheric body. And then Pluto was 13 degrees in Capricorn, which represents the earth element, which is humanity's physical body. And this grand cross alignment, it really bathed the earth for 3 days, beginning, interestingly, on the 22nd of April, which was Earth Day, when we're focusing on the elements and the physical, etheric, mental, and emotional strata of the earth and humanity. So this again, and you know, I know this sounds a little complicated, we don't have to get caught up in all the specifics. All we need to know is that there is this huge influx of energy that's helping lift us up. And it's all being sealed. All of these things that I've been talking about are being sealed with this solar eclipse. And it's sealing everything in this higher frequency. So, for instance, all of this time, since the March equinox, through all of this time, the energy has been lifting us up. And when I say us, of course, I'm talking about every single person on the planet, the elemental kingdom, the animal and plant kingdom. It's literally been bathing all life on the planet, increasing the vibration.
Wow.
Now, unfortunately, light increases everything, so it pushes all the garbage to the surface as well to be healed. So sometimes it looks like a really chaotic time, and that's why eclipses used to be considered bad omens, because people would observe the negativity in their life. What they didn't see as easily is the incredible shift into light that they were experiencing.
Mm, wow. Thank you for explaining that. I've heard a few people explain that, but no one's really explained it as well as you have. So as we head into this evening to the sealing portion of this, what is it that an individual could set for intention for today?
Okay, think of whatever it is that you are trying to empower in your life and or to transform in your life, and it's being raised up into a higher frequency. So, for instance, if you're dealing with financial challenges, envision and know that this energy has been lifting you into a higher frequency of prosperity consciousness. And so what is sealing this, what this energy is that with our intentions, then our God self, our I Am presence, the divinity within us, will feel this shift at this higher vibration so that we won't fall back into the dense, oppressive degree of poverty consciousness that we were empowering before. And this is true with every facet of our life. So if you're, you know, we've all here that nature abhors a vacuum. So if we can envision that what's been happening is that everything has been lifted up, and so down in the denser frequencies where those things were existing prior to the vernal or March equinox, that we're flooding that with light, that old dark space where the energy used to be at this discordant frequency of whether it's disease or poverty or war or hatred or confusion or self-esteem, whatever it is that's not reaching our highest potential. All of that has been lifted up, and now we're bringing in the light to fill that void so that that energy, that the progress we've made, will never sink back to the depth of the problems we were having before.
Mm. Oh, wow, that's powerful. That's a good thing for everybody to do, is to set some intention. Hey, Pam, do you have a question before I go in a different direction?
Well, I have a question about the concept of the resurrection flame and sealing everything in higher frequency. Now, I think a lot of people, we don't have the time on 1 hour show to explain everything in depth, but I wanted to kind of get an idea as to where you thought the resurrection flame was coming from. In other words, who sends it and who seals it? I guess that's good enough of a question right there.
Sure.
Go ahead.
We talk about the beings of light, the company of heaven. These are our sisters and brothers that have gone through, sons and daughters of God, just like we are, that have gone through the evolutionary process and ascended to a higher level of consciousness. So they're all of those associated that we think of as the various world religions, ascended masters, and there's all graded orders of angels, there's solar logos, there's galactic and cosmic beings. All of those beings are just our sisters and brothers that have evolved to a higher level of consciousness. And every single one of them is a son or daughter of God that exist in this all-encompassing presence, this omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, cosmic I am, all that is our Father, Mother, God. And the body of our Father, Mother, God, all that is, I mean, even science is talking about the divine matrix, and Einstein talked about the unified field theory, that everything that exists in the whole of creation lives, moves, and breathes within this force field of light. And this force field of light is our Father, Mother, God. And from the core of this force field of light, we call the core of creation, is where all of these special sacred fires, it's known as the causal body of God, the realms of cause where everything is created. This is where all of the light comes from. Then there are various beings of light. For instance, there is an angel, a cosmic archangel known as the Angel of Resurrection. And that angel's responsibility is drawing this light from the heart of our Father, Mother, God, and then projecting it forth to envelop the planet in these cycles in the spring of the Northern Hemisphere, for instance, in these cycles. So there's beings of light that are responsible for drawing this energy in. The people that are sealing this are, and let me backtrack a minute and say, in order for this light to benefit those of us existing in the physical plane, we need to be aware of it and we need to draw it through the divinity of our own heart. There's an expression that God needs a body. In order for this light to physically manifest, that the universal law is that the call for assistance must come from the realm where the assistance is needed. The beings of light cannot transform the planet with the resurrection flame unless those of us in embodiment in the physical plane are aware of this light and breathe it into our heart flame. And that's why at Easter time, when people focus on the resurrection, they may not specifically know about the resurrection flame. It's a beautiful mother of pearl essence is what this energy pulsates with. But they do know about life returning in the spring, and they focus on that return of life. They do know about the resurrection of Jesus, if that's part of your understanding in the Christian dispensation. They do know about life returning in springtime. So they, in essence, through their God self, their higher self, their I Am presence, absolutely knows exactly what the resurrection flame. So even from that lower consciousness of just thinking of it as spring and awakening and the return of life, it opens the door for this resurrection flame to flow into the physical plane. So those of us in the physical plane focusing on the resurrection, which, as I said, on Easter this year, both Eastern and Western Christians, which doubled the billions of people focusing on this, we're drawing this light in. That is who is bringing the energy in And then through the focus of literally millions of light workers on this planet, they are invoking this light to seal this energy at a higher vibration. So to simply answer your question, the light is coming from the core of creation, the very heart of our all-encompassing presence of our Father, Mother, God, through all these dimensions of consciousness, all these beings of light, through the divinity of awakened humanity and being projected into the physical plane to seal every atomic and subatomic particle and wave of life in the physical plane at this new higher frequency that we have received and experienced with all of these tremendous shifts of life that have been taking place since the 20th of March.
Mm. Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
Patricia, the question I have for you is, I noticed you mentioned earlier that, or from the introduction that Pam did, that you did an event at Mount Fiji. And the question I have for you is has a couple different layers to it. So the first question I have is, you know, I think about Mount Fiji, I think about Mount Shasta and stuff like that. Can you, number one, tell us what other sites fall into this category? What is the significance of these sites on the planet? And as a light worker, what would be my intention in any of these spaces?
Okay, there are literally thousands of these portals of light all over the planet, even man-made ones, for instance, great cathedrals and things where people have gone to worship and invoke the light become these pillars of light. And probably the simplest way to describe that is when we talk about people going through the near-death experience, people describe what they're experiencing, and everybody, regardless of their religious belief, their socioeconomic status, their education, whatever, it seems like everybody's having almost identical experiences. When people go through this experience, they don't even lose consciousness, aware of being out of their body, and then they begin to pass, because of, you know, various things that happen, they pass through this dark tunnel into the light. And what the dark tunnel is, it's this sea of negativity around the planet. Every negative thought, word, action, or feeling we've expressed since we were first breathed forth from the heart of our Father, Mother, God, since the fall, all of that negativity is accumulating around the earth until we project the light into it and transmute it back into light. These are our human miscreations that we are responsible. We've taken our precious gift of light and distorted it into these gross mutations that now has to be transmuted back into light. So when people go through the near-death experience, they pass through this dark sea of negativity into the higher realms of light. And once they're in those higher realms of light, they begin to awaken. And they're not being taught from outside, but they begin to know that they know that they know. And they begin to remember that they have this wealth of knowledge inside of them, this sacred truth that they have not been able to access because they were so buried in the negativity. Then when they come back into the physical plane, they sometimes start forgetting as they get into denser and denser vibration. But what these portals of light are, these sacred sites, the mountains are always high spiritual force fields of light. There are three life ways, and this is one of the important things I'm really stressing at this time, because we are ascending and moving into the higher realms. The difference is this time we're taking the earth and all life with us. So in order for us to transform and raise up into these higher vibrations, we have to work with the elements, with the earth, the air, the water, the fire, the divine intelligence within the elemental kingdom. And there are beings associated, divine intelligence associated with the earth, the air, the water, the fire, and the ether elements. And now we're beginning to work with them on a cooperative level. Well, these portals of light, these sacred sites, are opening tremendous shafts of light through this psychic astral realm, as it's called, this sea of negativity. And they're holding the portals open so that the light can once again reach the earth and flow through the heart flames of people invoking them. So people are going to sacred sites, they're going to the churches, cathedrals, you know, all of these PowerPoints on the planet. The Earth has what we call a crystal grid system, which is really the crystals and sacred minerals running through the Earth. That is exactly like our own acupuncture meridians. And so a lot of these special places are acupuncture points on the Earth. And when people are drawn there, they pray, they invoke the light. They serve as acupuncture needles to bring more light into the Earth. And this is one of the major things that is occurring all over the planet. As I said, there are, just like in our own bodies, we have thousands and thousands of acupuncture pressure points and things. Some are more powerful. We have, of course, the major chakra centers and than others. But there are myriad places, points on our body that draw light into us, just as in the body of Mother Earth. So these sacred sites are areas where people have sensed the frequency of vibration. I mean, the cathedrals are not built where they're built by chance. They're built because somebody was drawn there and felt inspired either at a higher level of consciousness or just at a heart level to build a sacred sanctuary there for people to come and invoke the light. So all of these places are incredibly powerful. Mount Fuji is one of the most powerful that is associated with peace. And it began after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and bringing in light and force fields of peace, reactivating that so that hopefully that degree of negativity will never again happen on the planet.
Well, thank you. Go ahead, Pam.
All right. Well, Patricia, I have a myriad of questions here.
Okay.
I'd like to start with the way the consciousness has evolved, say since, give us some time here, since like 1950. I was born in 55, and, you know, my mother used to watch these old movies and wonderful black and white, and then it moved into Doris Day. And as I grew up, I would watch the Loretta Lynn Theater and whatnot. So every once in a while, I'll catch one of these old movies on TV, and I think, oh, wonderful, let's watch that. And I'm appalled by the way that the energy is, the way that people used to be, and the way that they treated each other, and the way that they treated women. And you forget very quickly, because we're such chameleons for reality, you forget how it used to be. So now we've obviously progressed on the consciousness level, even on a cultural level, tremendously since that period. And I think it's continuing to grow, even though some people don't think so. My question to you is, why us on this little planet, and why now?
Okay, we are in the midst of a unique experiment that has never been attempted in any system of worlds. Never has a planet that's fallen to this degree of separation and duality been given the opportunity to move forward this quickly in the light. And let me just share what to answer your question exactly what there is an answer to that. And that was my motivation from the time I was a small child is why in the world is there so much pain and suffering in this planet? And no matter where I looked, I went through the gamut of world religions, through psychology, through science, through understanding the powers of the mind, physics, the cosmos, as much as I could find, and never was able to get the answer. When I asked on a spiritual level, it was always because, well, Eve ate that darned apple. If Eve hadn't eaten that apple, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. And on a scientific level, it was, oh, matter evolved out of chaos by happenstance. We evolved from an amoeba in a mud puddle, and what is just by happenstance. There's no rhyme or reason to what's going on the planet. Well, I knew none of that was true. So I just kept asking, going within, hearing that voice, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven within, and all else will be revealed to you, and kept asking, and then took the time to wait for the answer. And the floodgates of heaven opened for me to guide me through this. And that has nothing to do with being psychic, with being a channel, with being supernatural, extrasensory perception. I am an absolutely ordinary human being that just persistently asked the question and then took the time for the answer. And this is what each and every one of us have the ability to do and have the awareness to do. We just need to remember, and we need to reconnect with that. And the answers that I got, I share openly in as many ways as I possibly can, because it was life-transforming for me. I didn't ever want anyone to not have access to it. But I also do not ever want anyone to accept something as truth just because somebody else has told them it's true. I'd like them to just listen to it as food for thought, take it into their heart, and then go within and get their own answer. But this is the information that was given to me by the Company of Heaven. Now, in the beginning, I mean, our whole purpose and reason for being as sons and daughters of God was to come into the time and space constraints of a physical reality, gifted with free will and the creative faculties of thought and feeling, because our Father, Mother, God wanted us to learn to become co-creators and expand the kingdom of heaven throughout all dimensions and exponentially expand the kingdom of heaven on earth. And so we were given the free will, and the original plan was that we would observe all of the patterns of perfection in the causal body of God, and then because of our free will and our unique way of thinking and feeling, we would create new, previously unknown expressions of divinity. So the plan was that we would create heaven on earth and expand new expressions of divinity. In order to do that, our Father, Mother God, our Father God sent forth a ray of sapphire blue light that activated our left brain hemisphere, the rational, logical mind, the power center of our throat. Our Mother God sent forth a crystalline pink ray of pure divine love that activated our creative, intuitive mind, our right brain hemisphere, and our heart center. The blue flame of our Father God was anchored in our heart. The pink flame of our Mother God was also anchored in our heart, in the divinity within our heart. And these two flames then merged into this magnificent, perfect balance of the masculine and feminine polarity of God, known as the violet flame of God's infinite perfection. Then this blazed up into our spiritual brain centers and activated our pituitary, pineal, and hypothalamus glands and the ganglionic centers at the base of our brain, which awakened our crown chakra of enlightenment and a yellow-gold flame, birthing us as sons and daughters of God into Christ consciousness. And this yellow-gold flame was also anchored in our heart. So that is truly what the Holy Trinity is. It's the blue flame of our Father God's power, the pink flame of our Mother God's love, and the yellow-gold flame of the Son and Daughter of God, which is Christ consciousness, wisdom, and enlightenment and understanding. Now, in the beginning, we used our gift of life for that, and we evolved really over eons of time. And then we came to this moment that was known, it's what we have just recently experienced, that was called the shift of the ages. And the one that we've just been through that was victoriously accomplished on the 21st and 22nd of December in 2012, we all were focused on the completion of the Mayan calendar, that 5,125-year cycle of the Mayan calendar. But the beings of light said that the shift of the ages was far greater than that. And every so many millions of years, cycles within cycles within cycles throughout the whole of creation dovetail into one rhythmic momentum with the heartbeat of our Father, Mother, God. And in that cosmic moment, and for the earth it means when we align with the galactic core of the Milky Way, in that moment our Father, Mother, God in-breathes the whole of creation up the spiral of evolution to the next octave of our learning experience. So millions of years ago, we came to that cosmic moment. And our particular solar system consists of a central sun, the spiritual sun, 12 physical planets, and each of, 12 physical suns, and each of those suns has 12 planets. This is where the 144 came from our sacred geometry that we hear about, the power of the 12 times 12, the 12 solar cycles, the 12 sun cycles, all of that has to do with the sacred geometry of our solar system. Well, what happened at that time, during this moment, any souls that are not vibrating at a frequency that can withstand the higher vibration are left behind. Now, this is not a punishment. This just means that it would be like trying to pass through a lightning bolt and they would be dissipated. So at that time, millions of years ago, the Earth was vibrating still in the Garden of Eden perfection state of our evolution. And we'd been through millions of years of evolution with sons and daughters of God, but we had come to that cosmic moment that was the shift of the ages. Some of the other 143 planets in our solar system, souls had fallen and were not going to be able to make the shift. And as an unprecedented act of divine love and compassion for the sons and daughters of God, the Earth evolution asked our central sun, the beings of light associated with our central sun and our Father, Mother, God, if we could take on the laggard souls from the other planets and have them be born on Earth and try to raise their consciousness so they would not be left behind. Because if a soul is left behind, nothing is ever completely lost, but it's returned to the central sun, repolarized for future systems of world, but it loses its individuality as that son or daughter of God. And the beings of light said that is the most tragic thing that can ever happen to a son or daughter of God, and it's what the Bible refers to as the second death. And so the evolutions of Earth were trying to prevent that from happening from millions of souls on the other 143 planets that were not going to be able to make the shift. The beings of light said never has that level of compassion and love been offered for the sons and daughters of God. And since our whole purpose is to come up with new expressions of divinity, this experiment was granted, and a cosmic tone was founded. The other 143 planets in our solar system were breathed into the fourth dimension, and the Earth alone was held in the third dimension. This is why when we look at Mars and Venus, it looks like with our third-dimensional instruments, all we see is the densest residue of what's left, and it looks like maybe millions of years ago life existed on those planets. But at a higher frequency in the fourth and now fifth dimensions, those planets are teeming with life. And so when these souls started being born on the Earth, initially the Earth evolutions were able to help them transmute their negativity. But as they grew and they had to start experiencing some of their heavy-duty karmic liabilities, this energy overwhelmed the Earth, and we fell into the dense frequencies of vibration. In other words, we got in this mess out of the greatest act of compassion and love that had ever been rendered by the sons and daughters of God. That's why nobody is willing to give up on this, and why we are receiving more assistance from any planet in all creation that has ever been rendered to an evolving planet. Now, when we talk about the feminine, the reason things are the way they are, just like you're saying about the way women are treated, the patriarchal consciousness, the abuse of power associated with the various world religions and all of that, is that when we started experiencing the pain from the laggard souls that were being born on Earth, we didn't know how to handle it, so we closed our heart chakras, which, because we knew this was our feeling nature, which blocked the portal through which the divine feminine, our mother God, flowed into the physical plane. So she was forced to withdraw to a mere trickle of her original divine input in our lives. So our right brains became almost dormant, our spiritual brain centers atrophied, our crown chakra of enlightenment closed, and we lost contact with our God self and the higher realms. So for the first time, we started using our masculine power without the balance of feminine love. And we created this fragmented, fear-based consciousness that we call our human ego. And this consciousness, amazingly, without question, just started accepting that as sons and daughters of God, we have a single parent, and that that parent is, of all things, a male. Well, what child is ever born without a mother and a father? And so we started, the ego started perceiving our physical body to be who we are and the physical plane to be all that exists. And it thought that what it needed to do was gratify the physical senses. So it could lie, cheat, steal, kill. Whatever it needed to do to gratify the physical senses was appropriate. And when we were in male bodies, we abused our power by being aggressive and domineering. When we are in female bodies, we abused our power by suppressing it and allowing ourselves to be oppressed and dominated. So now, for eons of time, we've been going through this challenge, and plan after plan after plan has been set in motion to awaken us to the love nature of the Divine Feminine. Finally, after millions of years, we are beginning to get it. And there is a cosmic push at this time, as you mentioned, because specifically we've known about it. It's been coming, you know, plans have been in motion for thousands of years. But with harmonic convergence, which was in August of 1987, we were given a 25-year period to awaken the mass consciousness of humanity to the return of the feminine polarity of God, the divine feminine, the open heart nature, and to return to a higher level of Christ consciousness so that we would be able to make it through the shift of the ages. And that actually took place on December 21st, 2012. We aligned with the galactic core of the Milky Way, and because of the millions of awakening souls and the activities of life that have taken place over the past, at a greatly accelerated pace, the past century, we reached a critical mass that allowed every man, woman, and child to make the shift. And we have now been breathed into a higher, the initial impulse of the fifth dimension, and we are now beginning to draw these patterns of perfection for the new earth, which are based in the love nature of God, the divine feminine, reverence for life, the oneness of life. These energies are now flowing into the planet, and this is what is, again, awakening the right brain, activating our spiritual brain centers, and again, humanity, the pineal gland is being activated. We are being birthed once again into the full divine potential of Christ consciousness that we lost eons ago.
Thank you for that, Patricia. Let me go ahead and take a commercial break, and then I'll come back with a follow-up question on that. Just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. If you go up and look at the listing we have for Patricia on the website tonight, you'll see that we have a listing for what's called the 28th Annual World Congress. There's a video up there that you can watch. She has plenty of videos out on YouTube if you haven't seen her work. I'm going to go ahead and promote one of her books, which is called Who Am I and Why Am I Here? And make sure to check out our website at www.eraofpeace.org. And there is a special gift up there that's also available out on YouTube called The Musical Rapture, which is an incredible piece of music. So if you have a chance to listen to that, you can get it off of our website or go to YouTube and find it. So thank you for that explanation. It was just so much information. It's a lot of what I heard when I had a chance to see you lecture in Tampa, and just amazing the way all that information comes together. So the question I have is, as a light worker, and for a lot of us that are listening to the radio show this evening that do spiritual work, what are four things, now that we're moving into this new space, what are four things as an individual light worker that I can do to continue this mission and support the planet?
Okay. One of the things that's critical for us to understand is that because of this unique moment, and the fact that Earth and all her life were hanging in the balance until we actually made this shift in 2012. Not even the Company of Heaven knew for sure if we were going to be able to pull this off. But each and every one of us, in embodiment at this time, are here because we volunteered to fulfill a facet of this shift of consciousness that's taking place. And in other time frames and dimensions, we were given the opportunity to volunteer to do things. And sometimes it was more than we were really capable of doing, and our God self would say, great, give it your best shot. If you succeed, fine. If you don't, you'll have another opportunity. This time it was different. None of us were allowed this time to volunteer to accomplish a facet of the divine plan that we have not already God victoriously accomplished in some other time frame or dimension. It had to be certain that we were going to be able to succeed. We have the free will not to do it, but we have everything we need, every skill, every ability, the talent, everything. And rather than, I was a marriage and family counselor for 20 years, and I know that many times people would have this sense of something special, but they'd be afraid of failing because they maybe had failed at other things that they volunteered to do in the past. And so they'd say, well, I have this financial challenge, and as soon as I get this handled, then I'm going to do my divine plan. But they would perpetuate the financial challenge. So the number one thing of the four things that we have to do is know that our divine plan is being presented to us every single moment, every single day, with every breath we take. So no matter what is going on in that moment, we need to say, how can I handle this? How can I think about this? How can I react to this in a way that adds to the light of the world instead of the shadows? And by moment, adding to the light of the world with every single opportunity that's presented. And this is even the guy that pulls in front of your car. Instead of thinking of him as a jerk, send him with light. Ask his I Am presence to guide him in ways that are more safe and helping improve his life. You know, every single thing that we normally would just have a negative reaction to start programming ourselves to be adding to the light of the world. Once we do that, then the door opens and our God self begins magnetizing all kinds of things. So after monitoring, in addition to monitoring every single moment of every single day, asking yourself, is how I'm handling this adding to the light of the world or the shadows, then we need to pay attention to everything that's being brought into our sphere of influence. Even when we're sitting down and the news comes on and we see a horrific thing taking place someplace on the planet, instead of just wringing our hands and feeling like the earth is going to hell in a handbasket, we need to invoke the light of God, the violet flame, which, as I mentioned earlier, is the perfect balance of our Father, Mother, God. Invoking the violet flame is the most powerful way to transmute discord back into light. So whenever we see something negative, all we need to say is, I invoke the violet flame to transmute whatever is causing this in the first place, to transmute it back into light in a way that fulfills the highest good for all concerned. And to constantly, the third thing I'm going to say, is to connect with our I Am presence. Our I Am presence is our divinity, and we've called it our Christ self, our higher consciousness, the superconscious mind, the spark of divinity, all kinds of things. The reason the beings of light want us, and our Father, Mother, God, want us to know it's our I Am presence, because I comes from Alpha, the masculine polarity of God, meaning the one or the beginning. Am comes from Omega, meaning the feminine polarity of God, the ending. And we say I Am, it is a code word that tunes us in on the beginning and ending of all that is. And when we say I Am, anything we say following those words has to carry that vibration. And we are connected with all life to move from the microcosm of our individual life experience to the macrocosm of all humanity. All we need to say is, I am my I Am presence, and I am one with the I Am presence of all humanity. And then know that whatever you are invoking, whatever light you are invoking it on behalf of all humanity. When you have said, when you connect with their I Am presence, as you do, when you say, I am my I Am presence and I am one with the I Am presence of all humanity, the I Am presence will only work for the highest good. So whatever light you're invoking for yourself and your family and your loved ones, simultaneously the I Am presence of every other person on the planet will absorb that light, and utilize it in perfect alignment with that person's divine plan and their highest good. So you can change from being this ray of light in your own vicinity, your own home, for your own family, to being this tremendous pillar of light that envelops the entire planet Earth in this magnificent sun of light. And this is what people are beginning to understand and know. This is why all of the prophecy said these transformations will take place in the twinkling of an eye, because we are connecting, creating these critical masses of shifts of consciousness that are lifting up every particle of life belonging to or serving this planet.
Mm-hmm. Patricia and Pam, is it okay if we extend the show some more?
Sure.
It's okay with me if you'd like to.
Okay,
great. Go ahead, Pam.
All right. The question I had, Patricia, was in the little bio that you sent us with the talking points that you'd like to talk about on the show, it mentions twice this concept of the past 2 years. You say, how have the messages changed over the past 2 years? And then you say, what have you noticed about your growth over the past 2 years? So what I'd like to know is was there a marker 2 years ago that things began changing more rapidly?
Yes, and that's what I'm talking about the shift of the ages. On December 21st, 2012, we aligned with the galactic core of the Milky Way, and we were breathed with all creation up the spiral of evolution. The energies that we have now reached are what we used to think of as the heavenly realms. When I talked earlier about the near-death experience and people passing through the tunnel into the light, and they would talk about in those heavenly realms, they'd see their loved ones, and regardless of the state of their physical bodies when they die, they're always in their prime. There's no aging, there's no disease, there's no poverty, there's no war. It's this beautiful environment that people draw the unformed primal light, manifesting and creating what they want. That was what we thought of as the heavenly realm. Well, this is the fifth dimensional frequency that we are now moving into, and those heavenly realms have moved into the sixth dimension. So they're even in more rarefied, higher frequencies of perfection. Because of that successful shift, on the 22nd of December, we were able to birth the new Earth, the fifth dimensional frequencies. And those patterns of perfection that vibrate only with divine love, reverence for life, the oneness of all life, and a new renaissance of divine love, all of those patterns of perfection from the causal body of God are now flowing into the mental and emotional strata. Now, we're kind of still walking with our feet in both worlds because we created all the garbage that's surfacing on the old Earth that we still see when we turn on the television, and we have to project the violet flame into it and transmute it back into light. We can't just say cancel, cancel, and have it disappear. We're responsible for creating that. But simultaneously, we're magnetizing these magnificent patterns of oneness and a shift of vibration. We are literally transforming ourselves at a cellular level from carbon-based, third-dimensional planetary cells into fifth-dimensional, crystalline, solar light cells. So we're moving in to this, to the bodies like our loved ones had. This is one of the things that Jesus' resurrection, what his intent was to model for us, is that transformation and knowing that this was coming. One of his main archetypes, the purpose and reason for being, the reason he volunteered to be the avatar of the Piscean Age, was to anchor the archetype for the return of our Mother God, the Divine Feminine. And the first phase of that mission was when he returned after the 18 years of going into Egypt and Tibet and India and studying with the great divine directors in the mystery schools. He came to the Jordan River with Mary Magdalene, his wife, and He entered the Jordan River, which was the water element representing the emotional strata of earth, and was baptized by John the Baptist. And we all see pictures of the Holy Spirit, which is the divine feminine, our mother God, the feminine polarity of the Holy Trinity. We've known of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Comforter, the love nature of God, but because we fell into such a patriarchal, manipulative consciousness with the world religions, we thought of the Holy Spirit as a masculine aspect of our Father God. It is not. It is the Divine Mother, and it is the feminine polarity of God. So the first archetype that Jesus wanted to anchor to prove the return of the Divine Feminine was being baptized by the Holy Spirit and the dove of the Holy Spirit entering his crown chakra, bringing his right brain into balance, awakening his crown chakra, lifting him into Christ consciousness. Then he performed all of the miracles and everything from that higher state of consciousness for the 3 years. And there was a lot of discussion of whether he was crucified or whether he wasn't crucified. And Jesus and the beings of light said he absolutely was crucified because that was a critical part of his message. And he was not, as usual, as most of the teachings of Jesus have been grossly misunderstood and misinterpreted, mostly to manipulate and control people. But the reason for that he was not crucified, because we are such worthless sinners and worms in the dust that he had to be brutalized in order to save us. He agreed to go through that dramatic demonstration because he wanted to leave a model, an archetype, that proved that there is nothing that the lower fragment of human ego can do to the physical body, beating, reviling, crucifying, killing. Nothing can happen to our physical body that destroys the divinity within. And then he transformed that planetary body into the fifth-dimensional crystalline-based solar light body that we saw or heard about after the resurrection to show us what will take place when we complete our ascension, which we're in the process of doing, into the fifth dimension. And when Mary Magdalene saw him on resurrection morning, he said, "Do not touch me, my body is not of this world." And even with all of that and leaving that archetype, you know, avatars had come and avatars had gone in the past through the various world religions. Their missions were always misunderstood, and people separated themselves, deified them, worshipped them, and expected them to do for them the things that the avatars were trying to teach them they must learn to do for themselves. Jesus was very concerned that the same thing was going to happen with his service and his divine plan. So he wanted to leave an archetype that proved that he could not do this for us and that each and every one of us had to open our hearts, return to that path of divine love, receive the influx once again of the divine feminine, our mother God, in order to return to Christ consciousness. So for the 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus held the disciples in his aura and energy field, lifting them into Christ consciousness. And during that 40 days, they were able to do all the miracles and everything that Jesus did as Christ conscious beings. Then 40 days, at the end of the 40 days, when it was time for him to move in his solar light body, his crystalline fifth dimensional solar light body, into the heavenly realm, he withdrew that energy. And the disciples began to falter and fail. And it became clear to them that Jesus could not sustain this level of Christ consciousness for them, that they needed to do what Jesus taught and that archetype. So that's when they went into symbolically the upper room, invoked the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and opened their heart flames, returning to Christ consciousness, awakening their right brain. Excuse me. And we all saw pictures, we've all seen, I think, probably pictures of the disciples after Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the flame coming out of their crown chakra, showing that they had returned to Christ consciousness. And they were given the gift of tongues through that moving into Christ consciousness. That was not just speaking in unintelligible symbols and things like that, the way it's being interpreted now, having somebody else interpret what's being said. but the gift of tongues meant that they were able to travel the face of the earth, communicating the return to Christ consciousness, the path of divine love that Jesus taught, in the language of the people that they were communicating to, so that there were no language barriers.
Okay.
Yeah. Patricia, question for you. I know when I talk, I can talk about this from my own experience, but I'll also say that, you know, because I talked to thousands of light workers around the world, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of the same stories too. You know, the last year or so has been a very trying time for us spiritual light workers. A lot of hardship, a lot of stripping away of attachments, a lot of situations. We've been financially ruined as we've been brought down and cleared of a lot of things. We've done what some people will call the dark night of the soul, which I want to call at least 6 to 8 months of a soul, not a dark night. And I guess the question I would have is for these individuals who basically are down on their knees in this rebuild or this restructuring, I mean, what kind of coaching or positive words could you give them as far as, you know, what is next and what are we looking at in this clearing?
Well, I know it's really hard right now. This is the time biblically that was referred to as the time of screaming and gnashing of teeth, because what's happening is that the light is increasing in exponentially on the planet, and it's pushing everything that conflicts with that light to the surface. So nobody is going through anything that we haven't at some level agreed to go through. And the reason we have agreed to go through it is not because we're masochistic and just wanted to see how miserable we could be. It's because we know that by clearing and transmuting, for instance, if it's financial challenges, it's sometimes lifetimes worth of poverty consciousness and lack and limitation. It might have been associated with lifetimes where we abused our power through greed and money and whatever. And so it's coming up to be cleared, because all of these things that we've created in this system, I mean, for instance, like right now, if I said, does everybody want to eliminate disease on the planet? Everybody would say yes. And if I said, do we want to eliminate war? Everybody would say yes. Do you want to eliminate crime? Everybody would say yes. But if your life work, if you're a doctor and you've been going to medical school and you've been learning, and the way you're supporting and fulfilling your life work is by being a doctor, to all of a sudden have all illness and disease eliminated, the terror is, well, how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to put food on the table? We're witnessing this right now with the wars. The wars are dying down. The wars are closing down with Afghanistan and Iraq. And so people are vehemently trying to create a new war because of the money involved and because of their financial dependence on war in order to put food on the table. The same thing is true with, the crime industry. If you're a lawyer or if you're associated with the penal institutions or whatever it is that's associated with crime, police, security, all of those things, the fear is, what in the world will I do? So we're in this catch-22. Where we're moving into the light, and when we move into this light, what we need to understand is that we have the ability to draw this unformed primal light, working with the elemental kingdom, manifesting what we want. This is what we had in the beginning. This is what we lost. The Garden of Eden was a gift that everything we needed to sustain our physical bodies was provided for us, and all we needed to do was use our gift of life to add to the light of the world. This is what we're returning to, but the fear is causing us to cling and hold on to the things that the old earth must be released from, that we must transmute, and this is what the pain is. We are actually, people are feeling like they're in a vice, being stretched from one pillar to the other, desperately wanting to move forward into this new earth, but terrified that if they don't have the same old job or the same old source of income or the same old whatever it is from the old earth that they're holding on to, that they're not going to be able to feed their parents, to feed their children or put food on the table or a roof over their head or whatever. So we have to start creating the vision and empowering what we want in our life, opening up to what we want to create in our life. And it's okay to look at our jobs and to look at the situation and say, how can I evolve this into something higher so that it'll move forward and transform it? For instance, even in the oil industry. There's all kinds of free energies and still being associated with energy and things. We don't need to hold on to the destructive fossil fuels in order to create energy. You know, we can. There's all kinds of healing modalities that will not just heal disease if we no longer have disease, but that will help us transform into these crystalline-like bodies and help us develop powers and abilities to do incredible things with our bodies. In other words, what needs to happen is this trust and this shift of consciousness, knowing that the new heaven and the new earth is far more grand and glorious than anything that we're desperately clinging to in the old earth. So blaze the violet fire through it, transmute it and let it go, and create through your thoughts, words, actions, and feelings what you want to manifest in your life, knowing that you're opening new pathways to things that are beyond the comprehension of our finite mind in wondrous and glorious ways right now.
Thank you for that. Go ahead,
you're
Pam.
I wanted to ask a question that I'm not sure you know the answer to. I'm not sure I know the answer to it. But before the fall, and you've mentioned the fall before, so I'm thinking that maybe you have a clue to this. There was a counter-rotating energy field around our bodies called the Merkaba. And in Arabic, the word Merkaba means the vehicle. It was something that he could transport us with a thought. And it exists still on other dimensional, higher dimensional levels. As we move into this next fifth dimensional realm, will our Merkabas begin being activated again?
Yes, these are really just our energy fields. And the threefold flame in our heart that I've mentioned, the blue flame of our Father God's power, pink flame of our Mother God's love, yellow gold flame of the Son and Daughter God, Christ consciousness, was enveloped our four lower bodies. And the energy field around that was from our higher etheric bodies, which you call the Merkaba. And that, when we fell into such denseness, we lost contact with that. And because we were misqualifying this huge shaft of light that was flowing through our threefold flame that enveloped our four lower bodies, as a merciful act to prevent us from misqualifying so much energy, that was withdrawn by our I Am presence into our heart, so that the shaft of light that used to pass through us that energized the Merkaba and our earthly bodies, that shaft of light was reduced to what we now call the silver cord. And the threefold flame that used to envelop us with our Merkaba is now called the spark of divinity. So it's not so much that it's away from us as it is that it's expanding through the divinity in our heart once again to take full dominion, enveloping our four earthly bodies. And this will be a major part of the divine alchemy that's taking place, that's transforming us from planetary carbon-based beings. And if you just think of a lump of coal, as you know, when you put it under incredible pressure, it's transformed into this crystalline, magnificent diamond. And that's really what's happening to us at a different level. But we all know about coal and diamonds, so it's easy to see when we're talking about carbon-based cells into crystalline-based solar light cells. So yes, absolutely, we will move into these other energy fields where we will be, and I know that sounds far out at this time, but it's really real, that we will be transporting ourselves with thoughts and will be manifesting. You know, in those higher realms, we envision what we want our homes to be and draw forth the unformed primal light substance, and the elemental kingdom creates that around us, you know. It's wondrous beyond anything that we can. We're so used to struggling from morning till night to put food on the table, which is what we fell to, never part of the divine plan. The divine plan was that everything we needed would be provided by the elemental kingdom. That was the whole concept of the allegory of the Garden of Eden. And then when it said that Eve partook of the apple, And incidentally, just to clarify that, Adam and Eve is actually an allegory. The reason women have gone through horrific things forever because Eve ate that apple is because we misinterpreted what that meant. And Eve is the feeling nature, the love nature within us, and it is the feminine love nature within humanity that had the compassion that invited the laggard souls, which was the first time that we began experiencing the tree of knowledge of good and evil and negative energy with the coming of those souls. And we got in that situation out of the greatest act of compassion and divine love. And so that's why we're receiving the assistance and the things that we're getting now at this point.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Yes.
About belief. And now I'm on board with a lot of this, honestly, Patricia. I'm a medium, and I spend a lot of time in fifth dimensional reality, honestly, talking to a lot of people that are there. I am a channel. I am on board with a lot of this. There's some of it, though, that just doesn't resonate with me. Now, and I know that you're not trying to convince me, and you said very clearly that it should be taken as, if it doesn't completely resonate with you, you should take what, you know, you what works for you and move on. However, does this shift, does all of this growth and this expansion that you're talking about that's happening, and in my opinion, it's obviously happening, but do you have to believe in it in order for it to happen to you?
Okay, no, absolutely not. The thing about it is that through the I Am presence, there isn't a soul in the physical plane that hasn't been prepared for literally thousands of lifetimes to pull this off, even those that are acting out still through the fragmented fear-based human ego kicking and screaming into the light. Everybody, is through their God self, is completely aware of exactly what's taking place. And the reason, you know, what I tell people, even in the seminars and classes I teach, is that if I'm teaching something now that doesn't resonate, just let it go. And I promise you, if it's important for you to understand that in order to fulfill a facet of your divine plan, your I Am presence is going to keep presenting that to you in gentle, loving ways over and over again until it finally resonates. But the reality is that all we need to know is what is applicable to ours. And this is why I am so emphatic about getting people to get in touch with the information, because no matter how much you love somebody, no matter how much you trust what they're saying or how clear you think they are, it is still being filtered through that person's consciousness, which has a different life plan, a different experience, and is going to interpret it differently than you would.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what needs to happen, is that everybody needs to go within, meditate, ask the questions, take the time to listen for the answers. And you may not get them right in that moment, but as you're driving down the street or you're doing the dishes or doing something that seems kind of, not so focused, you will just get this intuitive knowing within you and the answers will come through. Sometimes when you go to sleep at night, you'll wake up in the morning and have the answer that you've thought out during the night. So know that whatever you need to know to fulfill your divine plan, to create this glorious shift that's taking place, is already within you. I mean, there are many people that would be after me with a butterfly net in no time if they heard the things I'm saying to you today, because it looks so bad when they're turning on television. We've gotten so used to thinking this physical plane is the reality. What the beings of light say over and over again is that we are multidimensional beings of light functioning simultaneously on all of these dimensions. The physical plane of Earth is the very last dimension to reflect these incredible changes that are taking place in the realms of cause. And it is also the least real of all of the dimensions that we are abiding in.
Thank you. So, let's talk about your tour a little bit. Where are you going next?
I'm going to be in Baltimore, Maryland, and all of these locations are actually on the website. We're going to be in Baltimore, Maryland, in a couple of weeks. And in June, we're going to be in Cleveland, Ohio, and in July, we're going to be in Denver. And then we're doing the World Congress on Illumination in September in the Grand Tetons in Wyoming.
Wow. So what was the last location that you just went to?
The last location we went to was Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. So going back to North Carolina, what were some of the new messages that were coming from the Being of Light in this time frame?
Okay. This is South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay, thank you.
The information that was coming through at that time was because we were moving forward into this momentum of this very, very powerful energy field, was holding the divine blueprint, the immaculate concept for the energies coming in. And there's so many, in order, as I keep saying, for something to manifest in the physical plane, the expression that God needs a body, in order for these patterns, even though these patterns are flowing through the mental and emotional strata of Earth, even all of these energies that we're talking about for April and for now, and the March and April and now, all of these energies flowing in through and around us, in order for them to manifest in the physical plane, we have to start using our thoughts, words, actions, and feelings to bring them into the physical plane. So this is what our visions are. This is what our intention is. The beings of light keep saying, in the face of all adversity, stay focused on the light, stay focused on the light, stay focused on the light, because where your attention is, there you are. And if all we're doing is watching the news and feeling like everything is going wrong and everything's terrible, or looking at our own life and empowering all of the patterns by feeling hopeless and helpless, we are actually empowering the very things we're trying to eliminate. So the immaculate concept is the divine blueprint. So get in your mind the vision of what it is that you want to create for your most perfect life on the new earth, and start energizing and empowering that with your thoughts, words, actions, and feelings. And then simply use the violet flame to say, I invoke the violet flame to transmute anything that conflicts with my vision, any of the blocks, any of the resistance, any of the old patterns that no longer serve my highest good. Blaze the violet flame through them so that I will empower only that that I want to create in my life.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead, Pam.
I have a question, Patricia, about your connection with this information. And I'm assuming it's channeled information, even though you haven't said it. I can't imagine how you get it in any other way.
It's actually what I call open heart and mind telepathic communication, where the beings of light, the difference with channeling, I mean, this is, and of course, it's all probably a matter of semantics, but there's trans-channeling where somebody actually leaves their body and the being
right.
takes over their body and speaks through them in a different voice and all of that kind of thing.
Right.
Then there's conscious channeling where the person is actually speaking through the person, and the person is just allowing that person to use their vocal cords.
Right.
Open heart and mind telepathic communication is like having a conversation. And, you know, it's like one of the things is that there's no such thing as the soul being unconscious. So just as you've mentioned, going into the inner planes, when we go to sleep at night, we go into the inner realms. And what happens there is we go to the particular temples or force fields of light, whatever we're learning, whatever is appropriate for us. And we can ask our I Am Presence to take us to the temples of healing or the temples of divine love or illumination or music or whatever. But it's probably best just to ask our I Am Presence to take us to the temples that are most appropriate for us for fulfilling our divine plan right here and right now. And we go into these temples, and there's often huge round tables and beings of light and other members from our sisters and brothers in the family of humanity are there. We learn, we are taught, and then it's like it's like going to a college far beyond anything that we've known before. Then we bring that information down, assimilate it, and presented in a way that can be communicated to be practical and tangible in our life experience here. That's what I do. I mean, that's the way my communication works with the beings of light. So it's like absorbing all this information and then translating it into practical application for humanity with the sole intent of helping them learn how to get the information directly themselves so they don't have to depend on my interpretation.
I see. And what about spirit guides? Do you ever rely on a spirit guide or a connection to do this, or is it just a direct connection?
It's a direct connection with the spiritual hierarchy, all of the beings. Once we get through this psychic astral realm into that realm of light, you know, ascending through this pillar of light, we don't have to die or go through a near-death experience to do that. So as we go within, we can also go create this tremendous pillar of light and then just move in consciousness into that higher realm. So you have open heart and mind telepathic communication anywhere and any time. You're not just in states of meditation when you do that. And all of the beings of light, every single, our Father, Mother, God, the solar logos from suns beyond suns, the galactic beings, cosmic beings, all of the beings of light, all of the graded orders of angels, all of the ascended masters, the beings associated with the world of religions, all of them are in this dimension. And all we have to do is ask any one of them, and they instantaneously, it's like a text message, instantaneously on the return current, project their conscious thought into your heart through this open heart telepathic communication. And you send yours back, and you have a conversation.
I see. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, I was Hello? Muted there for a second. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Yeah, I was muted. A lot of noise on this side. Okay, thank you. Can you explain to us more about the Congress?
Yes, the World Congress on Illumination. We were asked for the first time to organize that event for Harmonic Convergence in 1987, and we were asked to have a global gathering of people. And Harmonic Convergence was really fascinating for people that are maybe too young to remember that, but it was a moment in time where all over the world, hundreds of thousands of people, without Facebook or the Internet or Twitter or any of the social media, started connecting and realizing that something of tremendous magnitude was happening, and people traveled to sacred sites all over the planet. We were asked to organize the first World Congress on Illumination by the Company of Heaven at Diamond Head in Hawaii, because they said Diamond Head was the crown chakra on the continent of Lemuria for the planet, and that the energy would come in through that focus, go into the center of the earth, and then be transmitted through the crystal grid system to light workers all over the planet that were at the sacred sites all over the world, including even those gathered in their own sanctuaries, in their own homes, in their own living rooms or whatever, to anchor this light. And what Harmonic Convergence did is it moved, it was an influx of light that created a frequency of vibration that lifted the earth off of the wheel of karma that we had fallen on and been spinning on, making very little progress for hundreds of thousands of years, lifted us back onto the spiral of evolution to begin our ascent up the spiral of evolution. And then the beings of light asked us if we would organize this event on a rhythmic momentum, normally on the anniversary of Harmonic Convergence. So the World Congress is normally in August, but every time we've gone three times to the Tetons, and at that focus we're always asked to have it around the autumn equinox in the northern hemisphere, the September equinox. And what it is every year the beings of light evaluate all of the light that has been added to the world by every single person on the planet that says a prayer or admires the sunset, every bit of light that's added to the planet, and they determine how that light can be used to accomplish the greatest need of the hour. And then they tell us what that mission is. So this is the 28th Annual World Congress on Illumination. We've been asked to have this at the Grand Tetons because the Grand Tetons is the portal of precipitation for the planet. And this frequency of light, of precipitation that comes forth from the heart of God, precipitation is the energy and light that draws unformed primal light substance and manifests it tangibly in form in the physical plane. So the mission for this World Congress is to greatly accelerate this divine alchemy, because when we talk about transforming our physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies from carbon-based into crystalline-based solar light bodies, the same thing is happening for the body of Mother Earth. She also is transforming from a third-dimensional being into a fifth-dimensional solar light being. And so all of these patterns are flowing in now with the birth of the new Earth. They've been building in momentum. The first year, when you talk about the last 2 years, that's after the birth of the new Earth. 2013 was the first year of the new Earth. And the energies that flowed into the planet throughout that year were bringing in a new planetary cause of divine love and birthing a renaissance of divine love. Divine love is the foundation for the divine matrix in the body of our Father, Mother, God. We hear the expression, love is, God is love, and love is all there is. Everything that exists in the whole of creation emanates from the foundation of God's divine love. So no matter what we're talking about, the foundation is love. So in 2013, love was what was building in momentum throughout the physical, etheric, mental, and emotional strata, preparing the earth to receive the patterns of perfection for the new earth. Now 2014 is greatly accelerating the divine alchemy of transforming at a cellular level every particle and wave of life at a cellular level into a higher crystalline frequency. And so we've been asked to gather from the 13th to the 18th in the Grand Tetons. We're going to be at Jackson Lake Lodge, this beautiful resort in the beautiful Teton Mountains, and to create a transformer. Now, the World Congress is a global event, and people tune in consciousness from all over the world. There are those that are guided to be there physically, and we certainly need to have people physically offering their bodies to be this transformer through which this light flows into the physical plane and into the center of the earth. But we also need people all over the planet that are absorbing this light and utilizing it for this shift of consciousness and cellular energy that's taking place. So this year, the World Congress on Illumination, and you can go to our website and click on the link for the World Congress, and there's a detailed article of exactly what the divine mission is. And if people are drawn, you know, this is a service to humanity. If we're drawn to go there, the beings of light assist us in ways of getting there, whether we need help with time or energy or money or whatever. It seems like the doors are always open and the way is paved for us to go there. We just need to trust and to know that if we're supposed to be there, circumstances are going to evolve that allow us to be there. Sometimes we'll be drawn to go to other sacred sites on the planet. Sometimes we'll stay where we are and anchor the light in our own locality. The key is to meditate on this, to listen to your heart, and to respond to whatever your facet of the divine plan is, and then to do and respond accordingly, because we've been preparing for eons of time to be the transformers, the open door for this light during this time. And we're all going to be in our right and perfect places. So this time, the mission is bringing in the patterns of perfection so that we can quickly move through, just like you're talking about, Mark, with all this pain, all this chaos in the outer world. The whole intent of this mission is to quickly accelerate this transformation so we can complete the purification of the old earth and begin tangibly manifesting these patterns of harmony and balance for the new earth.
Thank you for that explanation. And I think we finally hit the end of the show. And as always, Pam, it's great having you on. And Patricia, thank you so much for staying an extra half hour and giving us so much information. And we have all your information up on our website and all that. So
thank you so much. And Mark and Pam, I really appreciate all the light you're adding to the world.
Well, thank you, Patricia. Thanks for being on the show. You've made a wonderful show, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
All right. So just to close out the show, I'm going to go ahead and play some of the music. You can get the full-blown version off of the link off of Spiritual Connections Radio, or you can go to Patricia's website and hear this. This is just a small bite of the music that's available for free. Thanks, everybody. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.